Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, you're going to think this might be one just for the men, because we're talking about manhood today. But ladies, don't go anywhere, because odds are pretty good you're either married or you have sons, maybe a father, whatever the case may be. There's probably a man in your life somewhere. And coming up on February 21st and 22nd here in Raleigh, and we talked about this recently, last week or maybe the week before, with my buddy Richard Newton, a men's conference coming to Providence Baptist Church called the Unstuck Conference. And the main speaker there, although there's, I think, 21 or 22 breakout sessions, yeah, is Dr. Eric Mason, who's the pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Is it Epiphany Fellowship?
Yes.
Epiphany Fellowship in Philadelphia. Great author, great pastor, great communicator. He wrote a book called Manhood Restored, How the Gospel Makes Men Whole. He's going to be doing the main sessions at the Unstuck Conference. Again, that's February 21st and 22nd. It's a Friday night and about halfway through the day on Saturday. And it's a great book. He wasn't able to do this live, so I talked to him about an hour ago, recorded about 20 minutes of a really deep conversation with him about manhood and things coming out of the book, and why do we have problems here, what are the main problems, and what are some ways forward. So you're going to hear from Dr. Eric here in a little bit, Dr. Eric Mason, but in the meantime, we're going to have a little conversation with Brian Nelson, who's on staff at Providence Baptist Church, and he deals with the family ministry there. Well, there's not really a ministry at Providence you haven't dealt with.
True.
After
true.
Getting to know you a little bit. So there's plenty going on there, and let's just talk about this, because then we'll hear from Eric. And I know you're going to love hearing this interview as well, Brian, and he'll be here in a couple weeks. But when it comes to manhood and understanding an idea of biblical manhood, since you're in family ministry and you've been around churches for a while, is this as big an issue in the local church as we all know it is?
Guaranteed. There's no doubt in my mind that it is it's a remarkable issue. I think, men, I like to say, I think of it this way. I think men know that something is missing, but they don't know what it is. And so most of us, we spend our lives trying to figure that out by chasing all kinds of different things. We look for it in our identity and work. We look for it in our identity and our physique. So we spend a whole lot of time trying to, improve our bodies. We look for it in hobbies. We look for it in relationships. And most of the time we find, or all of the time, I would argue, we find that just comes up short, and you don't know why, and you think, well, what is missing in my life? Yeah. And here's what's remarkable: the church has the answer, because the answer is a person, and the answer is wrapped up in the gospel, and so it is an issue that a lot of men don't know is an issue.
Yeah.
But know there's something there.
Well, I asked, and you'll hear this in the interview, and Eric had said. And I saw another interview that he had done where he's got an entire chapter in here about Jesus and Jesus as a model, which he perused through a bunch of books on biblical manhood and really didn't find very often, where people would look at Jesus as a model for manhood, because we kind of have this soft focus, blonde hair, blue-eyed, pale skin, wearing a frock and hanging out with lambs instead of the guy that's in a workshop every day. And,
right.
And we've lost masculinity. The whole issue of gender confusion is now out there. And it was fascinating to talk to Eric. And again, we're going to hear from Eric in the second and third segments today. But I asked him a question about self-diagnosing. Mm-hmm. How do we self-diagnose that we have a manhood problem? And he goes, actually, nobody should self-diagnose.
Right.
Because you can't see it.
Right.
Which is why we need community. We need the word. But this is something that not just men as individuals, but men as fathers and men as husbands, you must see this really, the damage, the fallout,
right,
all throughout church life.
Right. Well, what's interesting is that I say all the time what was broken at the fall was fundamentally relationship. Like, if you look at the fall, fundamentally what happened was it was a brokenness of relationship that started primarily with God. And because of that broken relationship, being out of fellowship with the one that made us, it spills over into our relationships with other people, which includes, right, in Genesis, certainly it includes a first marriage. You see the struggle in a family. You see the struggle with brothers within three chapters of the Bible, and so it's this broken relationship, and that I think that's fundamentally why we can't self-diagnose. We know there's a problem, but if we don't see it through the lens of the reality of how we're made, we're not going to find it.
Yeah, and the culture is always, of course, pushing on us their definition of manhood,
right,
which has nothing to do with the scriptures and usually leads us in the wrong direction. Why did you guys decide, and we're going to hear from Dr. Eric Mason in the second and third segments, the interview I did just about an hour ago. Why did you guys decide now? Why do a men's conference?
I love my church and I love the church, but we just recognized that in some sense we needed to give our own men a shot in the arm. To remind them of who God says that they are. Our people hear the gospel every week. And so they know that the God's answer, their salvation is God's answer for, they see it for eternity and a change in their heart. But sometimes finding that come into play on day-to-day life it's more difficult. And for men, I think that's a reality. So how we just see a need to help them grasp that the gospel matters in their homes, in their work, in their friendships, and in their interaction with community, that it has something to say about it. And we wanted to do that by gathering them together to help them to see they're not alone in it.
Yeah.
And to put them in a place where they, I mean, like with Eric, man, what a win to be able to hear from him.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And again, coming out of his environment there in Philadelphia, and listen, 90% of the families in Philadelphia are one-parent families.
Staggering.
And 98% of those are women. And so you have this huge drought. And in the urban setting, he mentioned this, you'll hear this in the interview. In the urban setting, he said, listen, there's a lot of young guys growing up in the urban setting, look at Jesus and go, that's not a model for masculinity.
Right.
Because of what I just described earlier. That's kind of, we sell this mamby-pamby a guest appearance on the show, Friends, kind of Jesus, as opposed to the true definition of manhood that he was. But in most churches, the women do a decent job of this. Right. They gather naturally. They're communicative naturally. They look out. They have relationships naturally. We don't. We just kind of go off on our own, don't ask for directions, and try to do it that way. And that's true in most churches, isn't
right.
it?
Right. No, absolutely.
Yeah, we struggle with that. We're talking to Pastor Brian Nelson from Providence Baptist Church. He's in the family care ministry there, amongst other things. He's also done some teaching. He's done some praise and worship. You need to paint. I think you need to paint something at Providence,
awesome.
And then maybe eventually take Brian Frost's job as the senior pastor.
No.
But then you'll get it all done. Just
that.
Kidding. We're going to hear from Dr. Eric Mason when we come back. Manhood Restored, the book. We're going to talk about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can join us here in the studio at the Facebook page, also the Steve Noble Show. I get tired of saying my name, but that's just the name of the deal. So just got to get over that. I talked earlier today, and Dr. Eric Mason is at Epiphany Fellowship up in Philadelphia. Great author, incredible teacher and preacher. My awesome niece, who I think she might be my favorite, is Claire Ziemers up there in Philadelphia. She's been going to Epiphany. She was so excited that I was going to have a chance to interview Eric, her pastor, and she's loved him. I've met him before years ago. I've known about him for a while, but to spend time with him on the phone earlier today and to do that interview, you can see why God is really blessing that church and blessing his place in the city. So we were talking primarily about Manhood Restored. It's a book that he wrote about 6 or 7 years ago, How the Gospel Makes Men Whole. But he's also come and he's the featured speaker at the upcoming men's conference, the Unstuck Conference at Providence Baptist Church, which is here in Raleigh, Friday night, February 21st from 7 to 9, and Saturday the 22nd from 8 to 2:45 p.m. pray.org/men's conference. We'll land you there on Facebook. We already put the link up there. pray.org/men's conference. Use the promo code Noble, N-O-B-L-E. There, I said my name again. That's just great. And you'll save $20 on the cost. So it's instead of 80, it'll be 60. But that includes both Friday and Saturday. There's a meal on Saturday. There's also like 21 or 22 breakout sessions. So it's really an incredible value. Don't let the dollars get in the way of you coming there. Most of us are stuck. We just don't know it. So I can't encourage you enough to do that. So this was my conversation with Dr. Eric Mason from earlier today, talking about Manhood Restored, his book, but also talking generally about manhood and about the upcoming conference. Reading from the chapter, The Life and Death of Manhood, this is in Eric's book, Manhood Restored, How the Gospel Makes Men Whole, talking about on the heels of the fall of Adam and Eve, consequently manhood was lost, along with the rest of God's original design for creation. Instead of responsibility, representation, and relationship, things like chauvinism, violence, passivity, insecurity, and addiction would characterize generation after generation of men in a continually increasing way. Doesn't sound like the state of manhood's too good in general, Eric, but in the church specifically. Do you think we have a grasp on how bad it is? I know that you're ministering there in Philadelphia in a particularly difficult area, 90% single-parent homes there in the inner city in Philadelphia. Is the state of manhood as bad as I'm thinking it is?
Yeah, I think the reason why the state of manhood is, I think, you know, I wrote this book, it's crazy, it's almost 7 years ago. It'll be 7 years in June. May or June, and one of the things there's been, and this is not to beat anyone up who's struggling with gender identity, but I think gender clarity is a big challenge nowadays. I think we've always, for men and women, but particularly men, had gender clarity issues, and I'm talking about even the most macho guy. You can act like you're macho, but if you don't know what God's intent for manhood is, you can have a lack of gender clarity. And so I think that we're in a society where there's a lot of lack of gender clarity. You have parents that have sons and daughters who haven't even expressed a sense of gender confusion. And you have, you know, celebrities who are basically, you know, hey, you know, let's try out the other genders,
sure,
whatever, and clothing or different expression. And then you choose whether or not you're a man or a woman. I just think, you know, that right there is creating a whole new landscape of challenges for people understanding who God created them to be.
Yeah, and so today you can say, hey, I'm you either can go down the road of being woke, or you can say, hey, I know what gender I am. I'm a male, but that doesn't necessarily mean you know what it means to be a man. And
right.
I think that's that. And you mentioned just being super macho, and that's manhood. But if we're gonna, and you do a great job of this in the book, if we're gonna hold up as we should Jesus as the ultimate model for manhood, I don't know that we look at Jesus. I know the Sunday school answer: we look at Jesus, say, "Oh yeah, he's the ultimate man." But I don't know how much
right.
Christian men actually understand that. And that was obviously a big focus of the book.
Yeah, that was one of the things I had. You know, I paged through, read, or engaged a bit. A ton of manhood books prior to reading the book, because I wasn't necessarily even going to write on manhood. But one of the things that I began to see was I didn't see really a specific book on manhood that had a chapter on the manhood of Jesus Christ. Now, for the woman who would say, hey, you know, isn't Christ for women? Yes, we believe that. And there are characteristics that Jesus is transgender in the more biblical sense, or gender neutral, rather, we'd rather say. However, there's this sense in which Jesus has been specifically feminized, particularly in urban culture. And so when people think of manhood where I am, they don't necessarily think of Jesus Christ as a man. They think of him as a figure that's more connected to femininity than he is to masculinity and femininity. And so doing a chapter on Jesus and just extracting some incarnational principles from his life, and how we as men can look at, you know, what it means to be a man. You know, Jesus Christ, we talk about Jesus Christ being an overcomer, you know, Jesus Christ the sensitive, because when we think about a manhood, we don't think of a man being sensitive, but also being an overcomer at the same time. You know, we don't think of those things. You know, the Bible doesn't make that mutually exclusive. They put it in one person, and so we wanted to just get a few things that was just helpful for us to see Jesus more clearly.
Yeah, and oftentimes it's kind of a funny thing in my marriage of over 27 years that I'm a pretty emotional person, and I will cry easily. But I can also be stone cold, and then you know, sometimes it's funny because my wife is like, okay, I don't want you crying today. Just be strong. And as if when I cry, I'm weak. But it's interesting to go into that because, yeah, when you talk about Jesus facing sin head on, the driven Jesus, the overcomer, the sensitive Jesus, Jesus the jealous man, I think oftentimes we kind of get that soft focus, blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus that looks like he's never seen a day in the gym. Whereas the reality is he'll go toe-to-toe with the demon or the devil himself, and he worked with his hands his whole life. And I think that you're right. We have this really misconstrued understanding of what it means to be a man in the first place. And you mentioned that's interesting in the urban setting. I know that there's some particularly difficult issues to face that a lot of us, I live in the suburbs, that we just don't understand. But there is significant differences there, right?
Yeah, there are significant differences. I mean, stereotypical differences, you know, that will cause people to, you know, begin to look at Jesus in a particular way. Because one of the things that's huge in the context that I'm in is because Jesus, you know, has been portrayed as a white hair, blonde hair, blue eye kind of in the field with, you know, it's kind of in their mind, you know, just kind of looks like he's in the field with lilies and standing in the midst of with long flowing hair. And so it looks like he has a nightgown on. Many times a lot of men here just don't relate to that. Now, that doesn't mean we create Jesus in our own image.
Yeah.
But we know that biblically Jesus is never described as any of those particular stereotypical historic images that have been put out there.
That's our coming from my interview earlier today with Dr. Eric Mason, who's the senior pastor at Epiphany Fellowship and the main speaker at the upcoming Unstuck Conference, Providence Baptist Church, February 21st, 22nd. We'll pick it up there with Eric when we come back right after this. Don't go anywhere. He's got some great things to say, especially for you men, but you ladies as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the upcoming men's conference at Providence Baptist Church, which is here in Raleigh, the Unstuck Conference, February 21st and 22nd. If you use the promo code, my last name, Noble, not my last name, Noble, just Noble, just put Noble in there. You'll save $20 instead of $80. It's 60. They're like literally there's 21 or 22 breakout sessions. Dr. Eric Mason is doing the main sessions. He's a phenomenal pastor, phenomenal author, great conference speaker. Manhood Restored: How the Gospel Makes Men Whole is the book he wrote specific to the topic about 6 years ago. I had a chance to talk to him earlier today, so we're going to keep listening to that interview with Eric, and then we'll bring Pastor Brian back on, who's in here from Providence Baptist Church, to kind of get some reaction to what Eric is sharing with us. But we were in the middle of kind of talking about the urban understanding about Jesus and can't really relate to him from manhood. Just some great insights and teaching from Dr. Eric Mason. We'll get back to that.
And so, I think that as we display a biblical understanding of Jesus in his character, in his work, in his person, and in his work, I think men will be more and more blown away by seeing a biblical Jesus, and the Spirit will draw them to the real Jesus. I think anything else but the biblical Jesus is a phony caricature of our Lord.
Yeah, that's such a powerful point. There's a really another powerful chapter. We're talking to Dr. Eric Mason, Epiphany Church up in Philadelphia, as well as an author and a speaker, Manhood Restored: How the Gospel Makes Men Whole. There's a chapter in here, The Impact of Daddy Deprivation. Now, for me personally, Eric, I grew up with a very strong father. He lived till he was 91. He died just about a year and a half ago. So I really didn't experience that. But this seems to be, from friends of mine, just people in the church, people I encounter generally, this whole issue of daddy deprivation is a massive issue for most men. And so what does that look like? What's kind of behind the curtain there?
Yeah, I'll say one of the things that it was a book written in like 94 called Fatherless America. And in that book, it gives you different categories of fatherlessness. And so it went all the way from, you know, the absentee father, all the way to the father. He was a hard worker, but he was emotionally unavailable. And so when you look at fatherlessness, there's different levels to fatherlessness. And because in our society, you know, back then only 40% of society, of crisscross ethnically, was fatherless, which that's a high number. When you go back to the 70s, it was way less than that. In the 90s, it went up to 40%. Now it's saying 60%+ of men are born in America are born into single-parent homes. And God's biblical design, when you read the book of Proverbs, it assumes, you know, it says, listen to your father's instruction and your mother's teaching. There is this disposition in which the Bible assumes that there'll be co-parenting, but not only that, it assumes that the father will be involved in the son's life. When you look at the book of Proverbs, which is a beautiful book, the parts that were that was Solomon's Proverbs, it's him talking to Rehoboam, and so you see really this idea of a father taking the initiative to talk in chapter 1 about, you know, standing in all the reality of God and taking God seriously through fearing him. And then he talks about in the later part of the chapter, you know, type of people you should be hanging with, what type of relationships should you be choosing with brothers, who you hang out with. Don't hang out with these type of people. Hang out with these type of people. You know, all the way up to chapter, you know, 5-7, where he talks about sexuality, you know, being careful of the type of woman he attached himself to, and then the type of relationship that he should have with a wife. So I think when you look at even the Bible, just in what it's describing, right there is not prescribing, it's describing something. But in describing it, you begin to see, man, it was natural for a father to have a relationship with a son. To the point where Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, we don't know when he died or whether he died. We don't know what happened with Joseph. Maybe something in church history tells us. But one of the things you see very specifically at the baptism of Jesus and at the transfiguration of Jesus, that the Father speaks and affirms Jesus as his son, which even in his incarnation, taking on an additional nature as a human, Jesus was affirmed by God the Father as his son. And I think that every son needs investment and affirmation from their father.
Yeah, what a great point. So for all of us out here in Christendom, Eric, how do we kind of self-diagnose our problems, whether we're a biblical man or not, a Jesus man or not? How do we kind of realize, give us some help. How do we know that we need help? Read the book, come to the conference at Providence Baptist Church, February 21st and 22nd. How do we self-diagnose that we've got a manhood problem?
Yeah, I think the problem is too many men self-diagnose. I think that, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire and breaks out against all sound counsel. Men need gospel community. And that means letting down your guard and being willing to be around other men who there can be a mutual exchange of iron and sharpening iron, where you are able to be around other men who can see you and help you with your self-awareness and, you know, give you what you need in the sense of telling you where you're off base and affirm you where you're on base. I think all of us need that. I think one of the things is nobody in the Bible self-diagnosed. I mean, you know, even the person that thinks they self-diagnosed, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Only where a person knows they need to be saved is an outside agent gave them a sense of self-awareness. Only the Spirit of God can give a sense of self-awareness. So I think being around others, getting in the Word, but then also asking the Spirit of God to give you a sense of self-awareness, I think those are some practical ways that you can do that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I often mention that Jesus is the only one that can handle isolation. So if we're if any man's largely living in isolation, if there's not a single man on the planet that knows your private sin struggles, because there's the things that we see in each other, Eric. That's you hang out with me for an hour. 2 hours or 10 minutes, maybe, you're going to say, okay, I see some issues here that I need to talk to my brother Steve about. But that's only what you see. We have to be in a community where we're willing to share in a safe environment. If you want to start a Wednesday night class for men that struggle with pornography and sexual addiction and sexual thoughts and sexual sin,
right.
Nobody's going to show up because everybody's afraid of being condemned. It's embarrassing. They're shameful. So that's a great point. I think if we're not in community with other godly men, we know for a fact that we have a problem. But, yeah, I love that we should not self-diagnose. So when you come to town and as we move forward, you've kind of got, in the book, Restored Worldview, Restored Sexuality, Vision, Family, and Church. If you had to rank one of those, from my perspective, reading the book and then talking on the radio all the time, I think Restored Sexuality weaves through everything. Because we've got such a hyper-sexualized environment now with smartphones and pornography, this, that, and the other thing. Do you think that's kind of the epicenter now in terms of these different things that we need to work on?
I think really a lot of men, you know, I work with a lot of millennials and Gen Z, and one of the things that is unbelievable that a lot of them deal with is a lack of life vision. And a lack of clarity, which leads to meandering and not being able to be willing to be clear about what they're put here for, not knowing the difference between, you know, sovereign will and personal will and, you know, just all those different things that I think, you know, that you know, overcomplicating things and really wanting, one of the things that this generation wants is a blending or emerging of vocation with personal dreams and vocation merged. So I think we have to begin to, as men, begin to work. The Bible says he without vision is unrestrained. I think one of the things we have to understand that vision biblically is what already God has decreed in the scriptures. You know, you're supposed to represent his reign. You're supposed to live your life as a living sacrifice. You're supposed to utilize your gifts to his glory. Now, the question is, under the umbrella of that, what does it practically look like in your life based on your competencies and your gifts and where God has placed you to apply God's already laid out vision in the stratagem of your life? That takes work. And so we have men, you know, basically do a vision development assessment and for them to begin to work through those different things and put in the word of God on every area of their life so they can be the journey towards that. It's just like somebody, it's the difference between somebody just getting a job and somebody being on a career path. A person that's getting a job is just getting a job just to survive to pay their bills. A person that's on a career path is developing a particular competency that they can develop and grow in the long term.
Yeah, they're on a mission. They've got a goal. And you mentioned this in that chapter that we act like one of our missions in life is entertainment. And he doesn't really self-fulfillment, so, quote-unquote, or Maslow's hierarchy needs. You know, I gotta self-fulfill. And I think that's what leads to the pornography problem, the sexual problem. Is if you're busy and you've got a goal and you're working towards something and you're a mission-driven guy and you're following Christ, you're not going to have a whole lot of time to sit around and go, oh, I need some entertainment, I'm bored. You're generally not going to get bored when you're following hard after the Lord. When you come to town, and we're excited to have you coming to Raleigh, Eric, and I know it's God's going to bless it tremendously, February 21st and 22nd. What are kind of your goals and what are you going to be talking about while you're here?
You're one of the things
Well, I'm not going to let you hear that. You're going to have to wait and come back on the other side of the break to hear Eric's answer. He'll be here in Raleigh February 21st and 22nd at the Unstuck Men's Conference that's being hosted by Providence Baptist Church. Pray.org/men's conference. Make sure you use the code word NOBLE and you'll save $20 off the registration fee. You'll hear Eric's answer when we come back and then a special invitation to you gentlemen as well as ladies. Eric's got something to say to you and then we're going to re-engage with Pastor Brian Nelson and talk about our reaction. Cause you want more. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We've been listening to Dr. Eric Mason. He's the senior pastor at Epiphany Fellowship, which is up in Philadelphia. He'll be here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So you may be thinking, hey, Steve, I live over here in Greensboro. I live in Winston-Salem. I live in Charlotte. I live in Asheville. I live down in Asheboro. I listen on four new stations with Ford Broadcasting, which we praise the Lord for that as we're working right now to cover the entire state. And so they go, well, that's an hour away. That's 2 hours away. I know that, but so what? Hey, that's $60. That's a lot of money if you use the promo code NOBLE. At $60, that's a lot of money. You're right. Yep. That's a lot of money, and 2 hours is a lot of driving. I get it. You have to find a hotel. You got to stay overnight.
It's a round of golf.
It's a round of golf. Thank you for that, Pastor Brian. Thank you, Pastor Brian Nelson, also in the house here to personally insult you, which I really appreciate because that's kind of my love language as well. And but just speaking the truth, so whether it's you, gentlemen, or your son, preferably you and your son,
yeah.
And really, what age range? And then we're going to go back and hear.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we've said high school and up, just because we think from a content perspective, they're the ones that can process it the best.
And some mature things in there. So
that's right.
It's always worth the time to to see what God will do in your life, especially when you can sit under this type of teaching for a day and a half, and then the breakout sessions. And for us not to invest in ourselves, we'll invest in the stock market, we'll invest in gold, we'll invest in clothes, we'll invest in cars, we'll invest in beach houses, we'll invest in movies, all kinds of things that we invest in. But the Lord, by the way, never tells us don't love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you need to take care of yourself. And we, gentlemen, we all have problems. We all have blind spots. So this is a great opportunity for you. Pray.org/men's conference. Be sure to use the promo code Noble to save $20 on the registration. Includes everything, including a meal on Saturday. But I was asking Eric, Dr. Eric Mason, about what's he going to speak about. And then he's got a special invitation for all of us. And then we'll finish it up talking to Pastor Brian Nelson from Providence.
You know, one of the things I just want to work with men on under the theme of the conference is getting into the deepest places of your life. Mm-hmm. One of the things that men, we don't have a self-awareness of is getting to the epicenter of our life in our soul so that we can set aside Christ as Lord in that particular place and be able to be launched out into the world for his goodness and his glory and his grace. So I want to encourage men to open up every single area of their life to Jesus Christ and the gospel so that they can get the deepest parts of transformation that can only come through Christ's work in their life.
Yeah, that's so rich. That's so good. So let's just finish, Eric, if you're okay with this. I'm sure you will be. Is just a personal invite, first thing, then we'll be done. Personal invite to the men that are listening. And then number two, an encouragement to all the women that are listening about trying to get their, and you know, encouraging their husbands and making it possible for their husbands or their sons to come join you February 21st and 22nd. So start with the men and then finish with encouraging
Fellas, I want to encourage you. Fellas, I want to encourage you to come to the Unstuck Men's Conference. God wants you to be unleashed in every single area of your life. Many times we find ourselves stuck, but God is the one who gets us out of the ditch of our brokenness and takes us to be conformed to the image of Christ and for us to be a minister and a leader and a priest in every single area of our life. Sisters, if you know of any men, which I'm pretty sure you would, when you probably heard me talking to the men, you probably got really, really excited because you know some men that may be in your life or adjacent or parallel to your life that are stuck. I want to encourage you to encourage men, as many men as you can, to come to the Unstuck Men Conference so that Jesus Christ can work in their life by showing his manifest presence at this conference through the worship, through the singing, through the interaction with other men, for them to see a life in manhood above the one that they currently live in.
So, Rich, that was Dr. Eric Mason from Epiphany Fellowship up in Philadelphia. Is going to be the keynote speaker at the Unstuck Men's Conference. Again, that's Friday and Saturday, February 21st and 22nd here in Raleigh at Providence Baptist Church. We're talking also to Pastor Brian Nelson, who's on staff at Providence. And that's got to be pretty encouraging to hear from Eric like that.
Oh, it's huge. It's what we want men to hear, and it's why we want them to be there. It's remarkable.
So tell us just kind of the nuts and bolts of how it's actually going to unfold over that Friday night and then most of the day on Saturday.
Yeah, so it's built around having him as a general session speaker, just to plant a vision and really push in to guys with just because of his wisdom and his ability to articulate so well what is needed and how God meets us at that need with the gospel. And then we're doing two different sessions of breakouts on Saturday as part of our time. There's a plethora of things. There's 21 different sessions, and they run across topics of friendship and the use of hobbies to engage with people, to how to lead a family worship session if you're fearful of that. Believe it or not, the session that has the most people registered for it currently is a session on how to date your wife.
Wow, how about that?
And
all the ladies said amen.
That's right. And so that's probably because the wives have registered their husbands, right?
Sign them up for it. So, yeah, I mean, that there's like taming technology, apologetics, politics and religion, essential Christian beliefs, missions, a financial workshop, family devotions, friendship, role reversal, generosity. Yeah, the dating aspect. This one will be parenting your adult children. That's more people. Praise the Lord for that. also dealing with teens, and iron sharpens iron. There's all kinds of stuff here. Yeah. So it's really, really rich and gives people an opportunity to really drill down into specific areas as well.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to that. I think it's just healthy to have a setting where men can dialogue together, and most of the breakouts will be set up that way, where you're not being spoken to, you're being dialogued with.
Yeah, so good. Now, listening to Eric kind of unpack a lot there in that interview, and, and dealing with family ministry, you deal with a lot of brokenness and families and people in crisis. What kind of things stood out for you, Brian, that from what Eric said?
Yeah, you know, he just right there at the end, he said, "We're resistant to community." And I was thinking when he was saying that we have such a remarkable fear of being known. Mm. We don't want to be exposed, and yet exposure is the one place where we can hope for something good to happen. We have to have a light shine into those places that we don't want to engage with, that we don't want anybody to know.
And well, that's the gospel, too.
That's right.
You can't get saved until you know you're lost.
That's right. And the scripture tells us that the remarkable thing, the scripture tells us that God knows us. Like we can hide from everybody else. I can keep you at a surface level.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
But God already knows. And yet he still loved you and me enough to send his son. How remarkable is that? And he has something to say about who we are supposed to be.
Yeah. So that was so good. Yeah, and that's because you have to be exposed, fully known and fully loved.
Yes.
That's why it's not you beating your lost friend up about their sin or about them supporting Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump or whatever the case may be. It's the kindness of God that leads people
to
repentance.
That's
in
right.
the face of, okay, now all of a sudden, because of the Holy Spirit, I realize what a pond scum I am. And yet God loves me anyway.
Right.
And then you died for me. You sacrificed your son for me. I don't deserve that. And then all of a sudden you understand the kindness of God. And that's ultimately what brings you across the finish line for the gospel, which is so important. There is also on the issue of fatherhood. I wrote this one down. I don't know that I've known this, but I don't really think like this. When Eric was talking about Proverbs, a lot of that was Solomon writing to his son, Rehoboam.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't know that I teach my two sons like Proverbs and Solomon teaches Rehoboam, but a father to a son. And that was also powerful. And I know that besides working on ourselves as individuals, we need help as fathers too.
Yeah, we do. What's remarkable about that is, I mean, if you know anything about Rehoboam's story, he didn't listen really well.
No, not very well at all.
And yet we've got all the things that Solomon, or at least some of the things Solomon said, and we glean wisdom from it. But it doesn't stop us from needing to speak the truth, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the reality.
Yeah.
And Solomon, he was messed up too because he's like the rest of us.
Yeah, like the rest of us. And then another thing, now this was, Eric talked about this in the context of God and the couple of times that he spoke audibly in front of other people about his son, speaking into the son, investment and affirmation, which we need to do that as fathers to our sons.
Yes.
But most of us, correct me if I'm wrong, please, most of us need that. But a lot of guys, because of daddy deprivation, which is a phrase Eric used, have never gotten that.
That's right.
We just didn't get it.
And here again is where the gospel fixes that. The words of God over his son Jesus are his words to us when we're hidden in Christ. So the affirmation of the son becomes the affirmation of the God who made us over us when we understand our need for him and we're restored to him.
That's
how
so
cool
good.
Is that?
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Yeah, and that's all really what's driving behind the men's conference.
That's right.
And Eric talked about that. He looked at all these manhood books. And there wasn't a whole lot of, well, let's look at Jesus as the ultimate man.
And yet,
for all those different reasons.
Fully man.
Fully man.
He was the exact representation of the Father.
And people would sit there and go, well, is that the soft focus Jesus, the blonde haired, blue eyed Jesus? I'm like, you know, that's the Jesus that Jesus meek and mild. But most people don't even understand what meek is.
Right.
Meek is, okay, I could call down 12 legions of angels. It's about 60,000. Two of them destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, one destroys 120,000 Midianites overnight. What kind of havoc could 60,000 of them?
Or better yet,
he didn't do it.
The Revelation 19 Jesus, who with just his word strikes down the nations.
Yeah, nations. Yeah. And so you go, okay. So apparently masculinity from that perspective in the Lord is not gone, regardless of what society may want to do with that.
Right.
But just a final, we got about a minute left, just kind of a final invitation like Eric did to the men that are listening and also by definition, they're sons, but the women as well.
Yeah. So I just encourage you, if you're a man close enough to get here to come, come and let the Lord do work. It's not anything wonderful we're doing, and Eric is a remarkable guy, but he speaks the truth, and the truth is what will change you. So I encourage you to step out that weekend and take a day and a half of your time to do that. And if you're a wife or a mom, encourage your husbands or your sons to do the same.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Pastor Brian Nelson, thanks for coming in today, bro. Great
Thank
seeing you.
You.
Great getting to know you better, and we're excited to see what God's going to do. Pray.org/men's conference, which means somehow David Horner, who is the founding pastor of Providence, knows Al Gore. Pray.org/men's conference. When you register, use the code NOBLE, and you'll save $20 off the $80 registration fee. Make sure you get there, though. It's coming up pretty quick, February 21st and 22nd, Friday night, and a good chunk of the day on Saturday. Pray.org/men's conference. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.